You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
Okay, we're doing a series called God at Work. Today we're going to do accounting. Before we get anything serious here, well, this is a little bit serious. Somebody sent me this email, just a heads up. The person said, it says, I don't usually pass on sad news like this, but sometimes we need to pause and remember what life is about. There was a great loss recently in the entertainment world. Larry LaPrice, the Detroit native who wrote the song Hokey Pokey, died last week at 83. He was especially difficult for the family to keep him in the casket. They'd put his left leg in, and well, you know the rest, so. Obviously, we need a moment of mourning. Okay, since it is about accounting, I have to read you this as well. An accountant appears at St. Peter's gate. St. Peter starts asking him all the usual questions required to get into heaven. This is according to the joke, not according to the Bible, obviously. The accountant, it seems, has repeatedly helped people cheat on their taxes and embezzle funds. Finally, in exasperation, St. Peter asks, well, have you ever done anything good, anything totally unselfish and altruistic in your entire life? Well, says the accountant, once I saw this pretty lady being beaten up and about to be raped by a bunch of bikers, so I yelled, hey, jerks, why don't you pick on somebody your own size? And then I kicked all their hogs over, all of them, and took off running, and they forgot about her for a second. She managed to run also. St. Peter asks, well, I'm looking through your book of your life, and I don't see this incident recorded. When did it occur? And the accountant replies, about 5 minutes ago. So obviously she got away. I'm going to have a little explanation after it's over for people who don't get these jokes. There will be a group that meets following this so you can explain these things. All right, now as we look at, it's been interesting for me to study for this deal, this series. A lot of times we think of God, we take the Bible, which is not a bad place to start, but we have all these God terms and God phrases, and it's all from kind of a perspective where you see it from like church or religion. But if you get in the business world and say, okay, how could I see God and theology and doctrine and all these scriptures through this lens? And the way, maybe there's some comparisons. And it's fascinating even in the area of accounting, because there's a lot of accounting, literally, there's scriptural words that are used that really mean just that. There are accounting terms in the scriptures that apply to Jesus, apply to us. That's very fascinating. Now, let me give you just some terms here, and our accountants in the group will know. But these are accounting terms every business person should know, and this is serious, and it's so boring you'll know in a minute that that's the case. So, accounting, it says, is a general term that refers to the overall process of tracking your business's income and expenses and then using these numbers in various calculations and formulas to answer specific questions about the financial and tax status of the business. Then there are words like bookkeeping, an invoice, a statement, a ledger, an account, a receipt, accounts payable, accounts receivable. Those are kind of the basic terms that are used. Did I leave any out? Reconciliation, very good. She's ahead of me. And by the way, that's one of the words that's in the Bible, and we're going to look at that. The whole idea of reconciling accounts. Now, let me start out by asking you this question. If God sent you a statement of your account, what would it look like? If you opened your mail tonight, you got home, it'd probably be more like a delivered package than the mail, though. But, if you opened the boxes, what would your statement read? It says, from God to you, what's your account look like? All right, now that's one way it could look. It could be paid in full. But for a lot of people, guys, this is a dreadful question. If you get a statement from somebody you owe a lot of money to, let's say you charge a lot on your credit card, and it's easy when you're signing your name or swiping it, but when that statement comes in, you start looking going, I didn't buy that. I was never at that hotel. I didn't buy that. You know, you start going, oh my gosh, this can't possibly be my statement of accounts. I could not be this much in debt. But you start seeing the lists and lists and lists of charges, not against you, but that you've made, but basically now they're against you because you have to pay them. There are a lot of people out there, guys, that have statements that are so horrific and so huge, not in a financial sense, but in a personal sense, and they're even afraid to talk to God about their statement. What I advise people that are financially in trouble, and if you are financially in trouble, one of the worst things in the world you can do with a creditor, someone that you owe money to, is stop communicating. Do y'all understand this? What happens to you is you get afraid, and you get these bills, you get these statements, you get these invoices, and you start to panic. You go, oh my gosh, there's no way I can pay this. So you stop returning their calls. Now, I've been on both ends of this. In manufacturing women's apparel, I didn't wear it, I just made it, but anyhow. I think I would have been a size 24 and we didn't go that big. So, and I always thought that was such a drag anyway. So anyhow, there's, we'll try to keep it spiritual. There were times when we were juggling money, and if you've ever run a business and known how this is, I mean, the first thing you do in the morning is check your mail to see if there's any checks in there. That's why they call it checking the mail. So you check the mail, and everything else you throw out, you throw all the bills away, just cash the checks. That's not good bookkeeping, though. But on the other hand, you're checking to see if money's coming to you, but then you're calling people that owe you money. You have accounts payable, you have accounts receivable. Now, I've been on the phone calling people saying, look, I can't pay my bills because you're not paying your bills. And it's very frustrating. And if that person will at least answer the phone and return my call, I'll go on for a long time with them. But when they stop calling you back, now they're in trouble. And some of you have panicked probably personally and say, you know what, I just can't talk. I don't have anything else to say. Say you don't have anything to say, but say something and communicate with them. Because they will appreciate that a whole lot more than you just disappearing. Now, what happens if somebody's statement keeps going out, past due 30 days, 60 days, the red ink gets bigger and bigger and bigger? Then they take legal action. And now all of a sudden your problems are exacerbated because now you got legal fees. It just starts to pile up. And it is overwhelming if you've ever been in this place. Now, don't raise your hand, but I can promise you there's a lot of people in this room at some point in their life have been under that kind of pressure. Now, this is exactly how a person is who doesn't have a statement that comes in the mail despite all their junk. You may have boxes full of statements, and every one of them you pull out, someone says, what about that? Every one of them says paid in full. Boom, 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 in a spiritual sense. It's all been wiped out. You've been forgiven. But see, guys, there's a lot of people don't know that, don't experience that. And the stuff is so personal and so heinous in their opinion that they don't even want to talk to God about it. They're terrified that they don't even want to think about the fact that God knows where they've been, what they've done, what they've said, who they've been with, what they've done what with. You know, they're just terrified. So they don't even return His calls. Now, how does God call you? You get in a situation, something in your heart, something about the situation. It's like God saying, what are we doing here? What are you doing? This is not going to make you happy. This isn't going to work. You go, you know, we turn the lights off, it gets dark, you try to hide and act like you can't hear Him, turn the music up, go do something fun to get away from Him, have another drink, try to wash it away, and nothing can wash it away. There's one thing that can wash it away. There's an old song that says, what can wash away my sin? There's nothing but the blood of Jesus. And there are a lot of churches and preachers nowadays that don't want to talk about the blood of Jesus, guys. Let me tell you something. If you don't have a statement stamped paid in full in that blood, you don't have jack. And I talk to people all the time. They come to church. Finally, they'll show up at church even. And they're terrified that we're going to bounce them out of there. The first place the sinner ought to go and know he's welcome is church. And unfortunately, it's the last place. Now, let me tell you where churches are in America, at least. Churches are bars in a lot of cases. And the bartender is the minister, and he's really a manipulator in a lot of ways, because if he keeps the drinks coming and talks and listens and ministers to that person sitting there, when he passed the basket, which is the tip jar, They don't pass it. It just sits there. And the person says, well, you know, this minister's really helped. He's really ministered to me tonight. I'm going to put some money in the basket. So he gets a tip, and that minister listens and doesn't judge. Just lets you come, lets you share, and you get full of something. You know, you get a little bit of something, a little bit of excitement, some joy, and I'm feeling good for a minute. But then you leave and nothing happens. You go down. But you got to keep going back to that church to stay happy. And sometimes those people worship alone at home with their own bottle at the house and no basket. But then they want some fellowship and want to go see the minister again. Now, why is it that people end up places like that and don't end up in churches? Because we don't want them. You know why we don't want them? Because our statements are so long and so messed up, we don't have stamp paid in full on them. We sure don't want anybody else in there showing that they got problems, and we don't want them to know we got problems, so we keep them out. Send them away. Now, I want to talk to you about your statement, and I want to talk to you in light of some scriptures in here, and we're going to use this word reconcile in just a minute. Let me read you 2 Corinthians 5:16, and this is going to involve not just your relationship to God, but your relationship to each other as human beings. Now listen to 2 Corinthians 5:16. He says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, do you know what that means to you and to me? That means that when you look at another human being, you do not have the luxury of knowing that person after the flesh. In other words, in a physical, just human way, you have to look at them spiritually. And you can't see them the way they were. You got to see them the way they are in Christ, which means you got to look for the best in a person, not the worst in a person. Because that's what you want Jesus to do to you. So why don't you do that to other people? Because you don't believe he's doing it to you, probably. When God looks at me, what does he see? He sees his son. He sees me, according to Ephesians 1, perfect, complete, holy, blameless, accepted, chosen, adopted. It doesn't get any better than that. So when I look at you or you look at me, when we get together, look at each other, especially if somebody's a believer, you do not have the right to wag your finger at somebody and say, you're a loser. You're a flake. You're a worthless scumbag Christian. We ought to kick you out of here. There ought to be a compassion towards each other that he has toward us. Now, there are times where you have to deal with people that won't deal with their sin. There's biblical ways to do that. But guys, those are rare compared to how many things can be resolved with some compassion and some mercy and some grace and helping people get out of the mud they're in. So he says, you can't know anybody according to the flesh. So I look at you, and I'm telling you, there's some people that will test you on this. Because you got to look hard. You stand there saying, yeah, I know Jesus in there somewhere, but I'm not sure I found him yet. Rebecca and I left for dinner last night, and we had a couple come and watch the kids, and our kids are all excited. They're going to get to go swimming and do all these things with this couple. And about to walk out the door, and Rebecca made some comment to the girls, now you guys calm down, and you behave like the angels you are. And Catherine, who's two, walked up to the door and put her hands on her hips and said, I'm not Jesus. And we like looked at each other and like, where did that come from? Now she's exactly right. She is not Jesus. I don't know where that came from, but there was lots of truth coming out of that little girl's mouth. And you say, well, I'm not Jesus. But let me tell you something. He's living in you. If you know him, you claim to know him. And let me tell you where you got no way out on this thing. If somebody is a Christian, then Jesus, God lives in them. The Holy Spirit lives in them. So you got to love them. They're your family. And you got to go looking for him in them and pull that out of them and encourage that. Not go looking what they're not. Look at who they are and who they can be. Don't beat them down because of what they're not. Encourage who they are in Christ. You say, well, okay. Now what do you do with a non-believer? You got to love them even more. You're in big trouble there. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you, like I'm not usually, I guess, but anyhow. I walked into Brahms the other night buying ice cream for the kids, a hamburger, and I stood at the counter. And you say, well, this was a judgment even of itself. But a guy walked up next to me, stood there. I mean, it was pretty obvious that there was a homosexual man. And for that long, I felt myself kind of cringe. And then I stood there ordering my food, and I said, okay, Lord, let's say a drunk had walked up here beside me, smelling alcohol, obviously a drunk. Would I pull away or would I love him? Would I say, wow, poor guy's an alcoholic, let's reach out to him? See, guys, you can't pick and choose your sinners. You can't say, well, I'm comfortable with an alcoholic or a drug addict, but to hell with the homosexual. And that's what you say. So you make a judgment, say, uh-uh. You can't be picking and choosing, because Jesus doesn't. And that same grace and love that extends to anybody else has got to go to everybody else, or it doesn't work for anybody. Now, this makes people very uncomfortable, but as I say, I didn't write this stuff. I just work here. So, all right, let me keep reading. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. If you take the ledger, the account, the statement, and show what God has got against me and everybody in here potentially, it's off the charts. And I have people say, well, I think I'll get into heaven because my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. Let me tell you something. Good luck. It isn't by works of righteousness that we have done, the scripture says. It ain't going to be about being good. It's because you are bad and that he is good that you have even a glimpse of a hope. And when you show up and you say, God, here's my ledger sheet, and I've done a few good things, but God, I am a sinner. I am screwed, basically, if you don't do something. And you say, I come with empty hands and not a hope in the world unless you take your blood and stamp mine paid in full. And he says, if you come that way, I'll pay. And you completely trust him to wipe it all out. So God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Why is Jesus Christ such a big deal? You can't get to God without him. People say, well, that's narrow. I'm telling you guys, I didn't write this stuff. This is God's idea, not my idea. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what do? My job is to take my list of accounts without showing them and say, you see this box? This is all my junk right here. My debt got paid. And they say, well, I got a box. I got a bunch of boxes. Well, I got some news for you. I know somebody can wipe that debt out, pay for everything. And you can walk away debt-free. Well, it's too easy. Easy for who? Easy for you, not for God. It cost him his son to make that possible. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, this is an accounting term, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Paid in full. It's gone. It's forgiven. Now let me read you one other place. I'll skip one of these and go to, for the sake of time, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having, and this is the word I want you to see, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Basically, when a criminal was tried and convicted and sentenced to death or any kind of punishment, the handwriting of requirements or ordinances, what he had done was hammered, was nailed to the blocks, to the cross, whatever it was. Here's what he is guilty of. It wasn't just he got punished. Everybody could go by and read what he had done. And God said, the scripture says here, that he is wiped out. I deserve to die on a cross. I deserve hell. And if you read my list, you'd say, yeah, you deserve it. And everybody that read yours would probably come up with the same thing. We're all sinners. But God comes along and wipes it out, makes it clean. There's nothing to accuse you of. And he nails it where? He wipes out the handwriting of requirements that's against us, which is contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. Now, you couldn't see this physically if you were back there 2,000 years ago when Jesus died, but I'm going to tell you something. There were lots of little lists hammered to that cross. mine, yours, everybody who ever lived, nailed to that cross. And everything that we ever have done, are doing, or will do was covered at that cross. And when he died and he hung there, died, was buried, and raised from the dead, guys, everything you got was stamped, paid in full. You say, well, I don't feel that way. You haven't accepted that payment. Now, does that mean anybody can be saved? Yeah, it means anybody can be saved. Does that mean everybody is saved? Nope. Because some people are trying to pay their own way and are thinking that somehow my good's going to outweigh my bad and I'll make it that way. Guys, it's just not in the book. It is by his grace. It is his mercy. It is his love. It is a gift, the scripture says. And I'm telling you, as wild as this sounds to some people that I talk to about this, as unbelievable as it sounds, you can be forgiven. Your account can be stamped, paid in full. And you can have a love from God and for God, for yourself, and then for other people, where you don't go around judging them and condemning them, because you can't in the first place condemn them. You can only condemn yourself scripturally. And when you do judge them, you condemn yourself. So let God forgive you. Let him love you. Let him love through you, where you can forgive other people. And let's find Jesus in people, not who they aren't. Let's find out who they are and be ministers of this reconciliation and helping people be reconciled to God and find out their account can be paid in full as well.
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We're here. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. We're here to celebrate with you too. So if this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. Let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also send us an email through our website, richardellistalks.com. That would really make our day to know how Richard's talks have helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website, richardellistalks.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every message from Richard at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. We would be so grateful for your gifts. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, I thank you so much for the scriptures. And if you held everything against us that you could, Father, there's not anybody on the planet that would have any hope of heaven. But Father, because you gave your son's life and he died on the cross, shed his blood there to make payment for us, and took it all on himself, then we can walk away forgiven, free to do what we want to do, live how we want to live. But Father, when we respond to your kind of love, it makes us want to live the way you want us to live and do what you want us to do. I thank you for those listening to this message today, Lord, who have been in a quandary about this maybe for months or years, literally. They may not understand all they know about it, don't know much about it, but they do know, they understand today. It's like their eyes have been opened, their heart's been opened, and they believe that Jesus died for them. And today they'd say, God, it's me. I'm not going to be good enough. I realize it. I need your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died for me to pay my way, to settle my account, and I accept that payment. I ask you to forgive me and I accept the forgiveness. I ask you to come live in me and through me and to change me. Make me a new creation, a new person. And change not just my eternity with you in heaven, but my life between here and heaven. And use me, God, to help other people see what you've done for me can be done for them as well. We love you, God. We thank you so much for not holding these things against us. And that even when we accept your gift of eternal life and believe in you, sometimes the call comes and we try not to communicate with you. May today we communicate whatever it is, whatever's on our ledger that needs to be settled. May we confess it and know that you'll forgive it, cleanse it, wipe it out, and make us whole and clean the way you intended for us to be. Use us the remainder of this day, Father, to bring honor and glory to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.